Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we're joined by Karen Jean-Francois, who is analytics manager at Cardlytics, and also Women in Data podcast host and producer. So this is great. We've got a fellow podcast host amongst us and joining us today. So welcome to the show, Karen. It's really nice to have you join us today.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm really looking forward to this recording. We've got a lot to talk about. So let's dive in at the deep end. And in a nutshell, what does Cardlytics provide as a service?
Yeah, so what Cardlytics does really is that we act as a platform between banks and advertisers. And what we do is we push cashback offers on bank digital channels. So let's imagine in the UK, if you bank with Lloyds, for example, you would go on your mobile banking app or on your online banking, and you would log in what we call the hub. And you will see different offers from various of partners, such as you could have Sainsbury's, Beds at Home, things like that. And what that will do is we will say, if you activate this offer, you go and shop there and we will give you some money back on your bank account. So that's what we do. The whole thing sits on banks' transactional data. Mm-hmm. And that enables us not only to do advertising, but also to run some insights to support our retail partners or restaurants, everything. So all the advertisers that work with us, that enables us to run some insights for them, helping them understand where the customers shop when they're not shopping with them, and really have a good view of the market because we see where people are spending and what they're doing.
Excellent. Excellent. That's great. And, you know, so you're analytics manager there, and I'm curious to find out how you've navigated your career to get to where you are today, analytics manager.
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, I am an analytics manager at Cardlytics. And while I explained what we do with the advertisers, what I'm doing is I'm responsible for everything that is bank analytics. So we are working with our financial partners also to help them get a better understanding of who their customers are, how they engage with the program, where they shop and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm responsible for all this side. And how I got there, really, it was not a linear path. And I guess this is like most people who work in data nowadays. So I was born in the Caribbean, on a very, very tiny island where no one knows what data is.
Really?
And probably even nowadays, they still don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the island called?
It's called Guadeloupe. So it's a French island, if you hadn't told already from my accent. I'm French, but from the Caribbean. And so super tiny. I studied mathematics, and back home, everybody was telling me, so, you know, you will have different type of people. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. So my family, very supportive, but when you want to study mathematics on such a small island, when already there is 25% unemployment rate and even higher for younger people,
wow,
they are going to tell you, you do so much studies and you're not going to find a job. And everybody was saying, studying mathematics, the only thing you're going to be able to do is be a teacher. And I was thinking, whatever, I don't care. I want to be a teacher anyways.
Yeah.
So I studied mathematics, moved to Paris because I wanted to do my master's in Paris. And also because I was at the same time doing athletics, running 100 meters hurdles with the French team. So it was easier to be there and train with people there and go to competitions. So I moved to Paris, did my master's, and that's only during my master's that I discovered data. I had no clue before. I had absolutely no clue before because I didn't have a computer at home. So I was like, okay, well, technology, this is like far away. I don't know anything about that. So only during my master's, I discovered data. And that's when I moved away from being a teacher to working in data. Yeah, and I started working in Paris, doing predictions for check guarantees. So looking at the propensity of a check to be unpaid, because in France, people pay a lot with checks. And what we were doing was, if you shop at a retailer and want to pay by check, the retailer, we will have a system basically that calculates a score and tells the retailer what's the propensity of this check of being unpaid.
Right.
And if we were taking low propensity, then we would guarantee the check. And then if it comes back unpaid, we will have to refund the money, obviously. So it was all about building models to understand that and finding a good balance between accepting checks and refusing checks, because we would like to build this very trusted relationship with our clients. After that, I moved to London. So I worked in Paris for 2 years, moved to London because I just fell in love with the city.
Yeah.
I basically, London is such an amazing city.
Yeah.
I basically came here for 5 days over Christmas for a holiday with my best friends. And it was very crazy. So it rained the whole time.
Yeah, naturally.
it was great. We were all coming from the Caribbean, so it was like, what's this city?
Yeah.
And I was so ill after, because I'm asthmatic, and then I don't know, my lungs didn't like it. So I coughed for maybe 2 months after that. But I remember when we landed in Paris, I said, I'm moving to London. And then the next year I was in London. So that was just really love at first sight. And in London, I started in marketing agencies. And then a few years later, I moved to Cardlytics. So I've been at Cardlytics 4 years now.
Wow. What a story that is. I don't know where to begin. I mean, I'm blown away by that. It sounds like that could be turned into a novel, or or a Netflix documentary or something. It's amazing.
A current chaotic life.
But how amazing is that, though? That is an unbelievable story. My God, so you moved from Guadeloupe where you didn't even know what data was until you were doing your master's. That's incredible.
Yeah.
You must be such a driven person, naturally. There's also one point that you mentioned where you were doing athletics as well. And we've had a few people on the show who have come from a sports background or have done professional sports at the same time as their career. And I always find it really interesting to ask, although this might be putting you on the spot here, if you think there's any correlation between a career in IT and in sports.
Right. That's a very tough question. Well, first of all, thank you for saying I am driven. This is not something I have considered in the past, really. For me, it's just, I just do things and it just comes naturally.
Well, yeah, so it must be a natural, it must be just innate in you.
I think it comes from sports, because I started athletics from such a young age, and athletics is such a competitive sport, and you have to go and train hard to get to where you want to go, really.
Yeah.
If there is a correlation between IT and sports, I do not know.
Well, I was thinking, you know, along the lines of, you know, what you just said, that you have to be really driven to get to your position. So I think that's enough of a correlation as we're going to get. It was a very difficult question, to be honest.
I think it definitely played a big role in getting me to where I am at today and doing all these things, especially on the organizational thing. So as you mentioned, I'm running a podcast alongside my full-time jobs. And I think I'm also teaching Python on the side at the moment, so doing quite a lot of things. So I think this is me doing sports for so long that gave me that discipline to be able to do all these things.
Yeah, discipline, that's another one. I mean, a lot of people do mention that as well. It's the discipline, because if you're waking up and it's, you know, 6 a.m. on a Monday morning and it's raining, you know, if you're in a sports team, you still have to get up and you still have to go to training, and you have to, but like, you don't have a choice. So I think that kind of philosophy gets instilled in sports players' minds. And you do often find that sports players or ex-sports players go on to be really high up professional business people. Have you ever suffered from imposter syndrome? Because I hear it a lot that people do, and then I'm just curious to find out if you've ever suffered from it.
Every single day.
Really?
But as I mentioned, I did not set to work in data. So the first thing was, it all started at university, really. And probably even before that, you know, but at university was when it was the most obvious, because I was doing my master's. I had these, so master's in France are 2 years. I know in the UK it's 1 year, but in France it's 2 years. And I had this thing of, okay, let me do the master's on 3 years so that I can train for the European Championships at the same time. And so it was all me running out of university to go to the track, and I could see all the others staying behind, going to the library, doing some work. And I was thinking, oh, I don't have time to do that. And me not being able to do that must mean that I'm not as good as them. And also they came from a different background, so they were already knowing things around technology and all these things. Where my imposter syndrome peaked, funny story, at the end, I did my master's in 2 years, because second year of master's, I stopped athletics. And then I said, let me just do everything on that year.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be late. But where it peaked really my imposter syndrome was when I joined Cardiotics. So I joined the team as the only woman. And while I have no issues about working with men, I studied mathematics, so obviously I was already a minority doing athletics. Also in the team, there were many men, and the head of data told me, is it okay for you to work only with men? And I was thinking, yes, that's fine, no problem. And what I found out working there was they knew much more about technology than I did. And also they were much more vocal than I was, because I am an introvert and I tend to just sit in my corner, do my stuff, and that's me. So I found it really hard to speak up in meetings, give my opinion, because already I had this thing of, I come from sports, I studied to be a teacher, so I'm not going to be as good as them. And they knew so much on technology, and that was just, that blew my mind. And this went as far as me thinking I was not meant to have a career in data. So let me change. And I remember walking on a Saturday morning in a bakery and asking for the chef and saying, can I come and bake with you on Saturday so I can see if this is a job I would like to win?
Really?
Yeah, so crazy enough, he said, yes, this is the magic of London. I love London. And for 2 months, I work at a bakery on Saturdays from 5 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Oh my gosh.
Slicing cakes, glazing tarts, doing things like that. And and thankfully, I was so supported by the women in data community, meeting new people there, finding mentors, going for coffees, having these kind of talks that you can only have in a very strong community and where you feel comfortable talking. And I met Victoria Pike, who works at Sainsbury's at the moment. Back at the time, she was working at Mencap. And she told me something that changed completely everything. So she said, Karen, you focus too much on your weaknesses. You should focus on your strengths. And that mixed with the fact that I read a book on imposter syndrome called Secret Stories of Successful Women, where Valerie Jung explains that everybody has an imposter syndrome and it's down to how you relate to it. And so I did that. Plus, with the help from Victoria, I realized, actually, this is where I should be. I'm very passionate about transactional data, about how we can help businesses make decisions with data, so inform better decisions with data. And I'm just a bit different, so let me play on my differences. I'm not a tech guru, but I'm really great at other things. So I'm great at personal development and training, which is very important in data, right? I'm great at organization. So we were talking about the discipline. So making sure that a project is run smoothly from the end to the start, and making sure that we do all these small checks, that means that it's very unlikely that there are going to be a mistake, or obviously we're all human, so there are going to be mistakes, but less likely. So I played on all these trends, and that completely changed how I was seen in the organization, how I was seeing myself. It also led to me starting my podcast in data. So from not feeling like I should be here, I now have a podcast where I interview women working in data. And yeah, so I think imposter syndrome is something natural where we might all have it at some point. It's just, as Valerie Young said, as you relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's great about that is that there was a support network there that you could rely on, you know, when you were feeling, when you had those feelings, because there's nothing worse than suffering alone, especially if it's in terms of your career and feeling like you don't belong. That's an awful thing to feel. But also, you know, I do think that a lot of people suffer from imposter syndrome, probably more people than let on. So there's an anecdote which someone told me a while ago, which was they were talking about data to like a group of children. They were talking about engineering, sorry, to a group of children. And they said, draw what you think an engineer looks like. And all the children drew like just a man, like with big boots on, like a hard hat, probably some kind of like, I don't know, a building like tool as well. And I think that's instilled in a lot of people. And I think that's that mold, sorry, is instilled in a lot of people as they grow up. And I think these days that is beginning to break down as the tech community and the data community is becoming more diverse. And I've noticed this in literally like the past couple of years. I mean, would you say that, in your experience, would you say that the industry is becoming more diverse and you're getting more people from different backgrounds and more women in the industry? Would you say that that's something that you've noticed?
If this is something I've noticed in my small world of people I know, I want to say yes, but there are statistics that prove that it went up and then it went down and now it's back on a uptrend again. What I think, so what you mentioned about the kids drawing the engineer is a very interesting concept. So there is this organization called Kidzania that does similar studies as well. And I think because, let's face it, data has been around for a long time, but data as we know it nowadays is very, very new. Mm-hmm. And that means that it is going to change. So it is going to become more diverse because there are all these initiatives to get more women and more girls interested in tech careers. So before all this was not visible, data scientists, I think the job titles did not exist 10 or 12 years ago. So now that we're realizing all these things, we're making them more visible, it is going to bring more women in the field. But it is important that we can see other people, I want to say who look like us, but you know, someone can look like me and be completely different at the end of the day. But it's very important to see all the diversity and find people you can relate to, which is one of the reasons why I'm running this podcast. I remember our CEO coming. So Carlitics is our head offices in Atlanta. And our CEO came to talk to the women of Carlitics group in the company. And she was saying, if you don't see anyone in the company that you would like to take their place, then it means you're in the wrong company. And that sent me in a panic moment thinking, oh, I don't look like anyone here. Yeah. I act differently. I have different interests. But it doesn't mean you're in the wrong company. Mm-hmm. It just means that, okay, maybe you need to find someone a bit more similar to you that you can relate to and find your path from there. It is very important to show these things.
Mm, definitely. And do you feel that there's any issues with the data science job title?
Oh, definitely. Data science is it's a baby job title, let's call it, right? And so if you think about it, when we are kids, So there is a lack of transparency, a massive lack of transparency on how data is used and what data professionals do. When you're a kid, you play, like maybe a dog, oh, let's pretend we're a doctor, a teacher, a cook, an adventurer, or an explorer, or whatever. You never go, let's pretend we are data scientists.
That's
hopefully
true.
That's going to change soon. I've seen kids book around talking about data science. So this is definitely going to change these things. But this is a problem. And because data science has, I've heard someone saying in the past, data science has a great PR agency, yeah. Much better than the other jobs. And what happens is in the last 6-5 years, data science has been pushed to the front of the scene. And when people think about data nowadays, they think AI, they think data science,
absolutely,
they think machine learning, and they forget that there are other roles out there. And there are many companies who decide to just call everybody data scientist because this is how they can get people. So
really?
Deliveroo, for example, most of their analysts are called data scientists.
Right.
And there is Monzo who did this experiment. So they did an A-B testing on job titles and they tested data analyst versus data scientist. Exact same job description. So same responsibilities, same salary, same job. One saying data analyst, one saying data scientist. And they found out that they had almost twice as many replies for the data scientist job than for the data analyst job.
No way.
And yeah, so you can find it on their blog, actually. It was a blog post for 2019, if I remember well. Yeah, and they said also the people applying for the data science role had more qualities. So they were stronger candidates than the one applying from the data analyst role.
Right.
And it was the same role. And people just decided that being a data scientist was better than being a data analyst. And I'm thinking, this is not about job title. This is about what you're going to do in your role. So there is something, obviously, because this is all new, we're still defining the different roles. So at some point, we're going to find a good balance there,
yeah,
and a good definitions of what the roles are. But for now, there is definitely an issue there.
Isn't that bizarre, though? Isn't that really strange? You'd imagine that people who study in data would really know the difference between a data scientist and a data analyst. But it's crazy that purely the job title would have such an impact on people applying to a role. Yeah, that's an amazing statistic.
People just think, I want to be a data scientist, and they're going to research data scientist role. And that means,
yeah,
because when you Google it, you Google data scientist, you might miss on opportunities that would be data science job, but just called a bit differently.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting story. In fact, I want to talk a little bit more about your podcast, if that's all right.
Yeah.
So how did you begin this? And then also, what kind of things do you cover on it?
Yeah. So as I mentioned about the story about the lack of transparency in data and kids not knowing about it, there is also when we finish university. When I was at university, there was no data science degree or no data specific degree, right? Mm-hmm. It was just statistics or applied mathematics and things like that. But even nowadays where they are doing data science degrees, you will hear people saying, okay, I'm doing this. This is very abstract. How do I apply it? You don't know what you're going to do when you're going to start working. So there is this disconnect between what you're studying and what people are doing in the, I want to say real world, but in the work environment, that needs to be addressed. So what I'm trying to do with the podcast really is to address that, to show how different people use data in their job in different industries. So we will have people coming from credit risk analytics, geospatial analytics, data scientists. I've had a data scientist working at Google, for example, on the podcast, to people who work in research. The other thing I'm trying to do is shed some light on some amazing women who work in the field, because I think we should show them more, just so that others can see that, yes, women can do that. And if they've done that, you can do it as well. But also, so show some light on them, shed some light on them, but also provide others with some tools and tips to help them overcome challenges in their career and get to where they want to be, but really craft their own path, because this is what it is about. So in data, because everything is new, it's very hard to know what the next step is. So I ran a survey with women in data recently, and over 70% were saying, I'm lacking some guidance in my career. So showing different roles, showing what people are doing, so showing how they got to where they are today, helps people craft their own path. So we talk about different things. We hardly go into the technical things, because I think there is so many technical podcasts, vlogs, blogs, etc., that you can find out there, and also courses. What we do is really focusing on the career path and experiences.
But I think what's great is, you know, we can do podcasts and we can spread the word, and we can really easily put information out there for people to listen to other people's stories, exactly like your podcast. And it's brilliant to see that you're doing it. And
yeah. And I think it's not just women and girls that need role models. Yeah. Everybody needs role models, because if you can't be what you don't see, right? And everybody needs role models. Why we're talking about women and girls, it's because we're a minority in the field, it means women are less visible. So making them more visible is very important. And the podcast is run in partnership with Women in Data. It's called Women in Data, but it's not just for women. Everybody listen to the podcast. I have had a lot of men messaging me saying they just love it. Mm-hmm. It helps many people. And it's just that we're interviewing mainly women.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, I did listen to an episode, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I really enjoyed it. It was great. And I want to talk about, I mean, obviously I'm quite biased here, but I want to talk about how good podcasts are for spreading a message.
It is, and I absolutely love podcasts, because what happens with blogs is, so different people will like different formats, right? I am a very slow reader. So to read something, it takes me forever. To be able to commit it to memory, I have to read it several times. And what happens with podcasts is I can just go for a run in the morning, listen to the podcast, pause, maybe listen again to a bit that I found was interesting and I might have missed because I got distracted by, I don't know, a squirrel running around. I did not know about podcasts until 2 years ago. And I started listening to podcasts when I started thinking of starting my own. And I stopped reading blogs when I started listening to podcasts, because I find them so much more convenient. And you discover, because it takes less time. So you get so much more information in listening to a half an hour podcast than reading a page for half an hour. At least for me, because I read so slow, I wouldn't go that far in half an hour, really. And giving back to the community is something that's very close to my heart, because as I said, I've had so many challenges getting to where I am today and I've had help from a community that really supported me, that I feel like I want to help others as well who could be maybe facing different challenges, which is why I'm interviewing other women coming from loads of different backgrounds, doing loads of different things, so that we can cover as much things as possible and everybody hopefully can find something there for themselves.
Yeah, amazing. Well, brilliant. And I think that might be a nice place to wrap up. I mean, what an incredible story you've given us today, Karen. I mean, amazing. And what you're doing in the tech community is absolutely brilliant. So thanks so much for taking the time to come on the show. I've enjoyed it immensely. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you. It was really great chatting with you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform.